time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Small Screen TV Party Thrower.
Mr. Small Screen TV Party Thrower.
This Super Bowl Sunday, your tiny living room will be jam-packed with 53 screaming football fans and one 17-inch color television.
What just happened? We can't see squat.
Watching it at your house, Mr. Small Screen TV Party Thrower, is just like being at the game, because everyone has to bring their own binoculars.
Hey, buddy, down in front.
The big game has never been so small.
It's like watching it on a cell phone. Yeah.
So the next time you can't see which team has the ball, what the score is, or the halftime show wardrobe malfunction, squint your eyes in salute to Mr. Small Screen TV Party Thrower, a real American hero.
Mr. Small Screen TV Party Thrower.
Come on, if we leave now, we can watch it down at the bar. We're out of here.
Get ready for the best morning show on any kind of radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for Sam and Kara in the Morning. Give Sam and Kara a call at 323-203-0815. And now, here are your hosts, Sam and Kara.
Good morning and welcome to Thursday, February 3rd, a day before our anniversary here at the station. We're looking at 3 years, folks. 3 years and going. Good morning, Kara.
Good morning, Sam. So 3 years for LA Talk Radio.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm
yes,
like,
ma'am.
I know it's been a little...
My baby has grown.
I know it's been a... It's felt like 3 years for us, but it hasn't been 3 years, so I was confused.
Really? It's felt that long for you?
Well,
you have been here long enough. I mean, we're going to celebrate a year.
Yeah,
February
but the key word is celebrate. So let's do something fun, which you said you didn't want
well,
to.
Well, first of all, the listeners better call tomorrow, or I'm going to get really pissed.
Why?
So you guys have to call in just to share some of... The love.
Don't you love how he's threatening you into calling? It's not like you're motivated because you have a real enthusiastic. They'll call if they want to call.
Okay. Thank you for explaining that. You clarified that for us.
But you pulled out the big guns.
No, I already have a couple of people calling in, so that'll be fun.
For LA,
people
for
that
LA
want
Talk
to call
Radio's
us.
Three-year anniversary.
Three-year anniversary, February 4th. It's amazing, though. You know, when I started it, I thought of the idea, took me like a week or so to put this together, and then within 30 days I had a station on the air broadcasting. You know, we started with about 9 shows, and it was amazing. It really was amazing. Although, when you look back now, you realize how amateurish we were, you know.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, you're figuring it out.
Yeah, you know, it comes
so
with
what
experience.
About, how many shows are there now? Like, you start off with 9 and there's like...
Yeah, there's about 80 now.
80 shows?
80 shows, yeah.
Wow.
Out of those, 3 are daily, and including our own.
Out of the 80, there's only 3 that are daily?
Right. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
The rest are weekly.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's just been a great ride, you know? I mean, we added the second channel a year later, and, you know, now we have iPhone apps and Android apps and all that stuff, and we're on iTunes. So... You know, and of course, we've been number one on Google for 2 years now, more than 2 years. When you type in talk radio, we should be number one. Sometimes it changes a little bit and we become number two. But for the most part, we're number one on there. And
how did you get that to happen?
Well, you know what? Usually you work very hard to make this happen.
Yeah.
I didn't do anything, just the basic things that you would do for a website. But Google picked us up, you know, and they realized we were relevant. And that's how they rank everybody, is by relevance and traffic and so forth. You know, although they can't really know how much traffic you have, but they know how many people search for you and click on your ad. So that's the way it works. And So I'm really proud of that.
But it's not a paid thing.
No, it's not a paid thing. I mean, this is like the Holy Grail. People would pay like tens of thousands of dollars to be number one on Google. Are you kidding? People invest so much money and effort in that because it does bring in a lot of traffic. I mean, everybody searches on Google.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool. So, yeah, 40 years, folks. We also have an author coming up in a few minutes, and he wrote a book that I found fascinating about why we buy things and how we make our choices and stuff. So I thought that was pretty interesting. Kara is not big on authors, but you know what? We've had some fun ones, and besides, I don't care. I enjoy it, and so there you go.
There you go.
Maybe if I told you what the books are in advance, it would be a little more interesting for you, huh? You could look it up and stuff, you know?
Well, I mean, the listeners don't know what the books are in advance.
Yeah, but you should, so you won't be.
Yeah, but if it's
going
to be interesting to me, I mean, you think about it, is it interesting to the listener?
Uh-huh.
If they don't know.
No, if it's not interesting to you, it doesn't mean everybody feels the same way.
Yes, they do, Sam.
No, they don't.
I know that. I'm just making a point that if you're saying it could be more interesting if you knew in advance, I said, well, then the listener should know in advance as well.
Okay. Well, I did let them know in advance. I pushed it on Facebook last night. So there you go.
Let me go check it out then.
Yeah, you don't need to check it out now.
Okay.
You can believe me. That's fine.
I just believe you that you did
what
you
said.
Yeah,
there's nothing wrong with trusting me every once in a while.
Yeah.
So you're looking a lot better. You feeling better today?
I feel so much better.
Yeah, you sound
better. I mean,
I'm
still a little bit, you know, under the weather, but
yeah.
I can't do bed rest too much either. I mean, when you're sick and you need to just rest, it's got to be, for me, I've got to be physically impaired. Like, I've got to be so out of it that I have to lay down.
Right.
I can't really voluntarily make myself rest when you're, you know, you should rest, but you have inner, you know, you still want to get out and do stuff.
Mm. Told you you're weird.
I'm not weird. Why'd you say that?
Because it sounded funny, so I said it.
No.
What the hell?
But, you know what I mean? Like, sometimes doctors say you just need to rest, but you're not, you don't want to rest.
Right.
And then there's times where you just have to rest because you're, like, dying.
Yeah.
So.
I know, I'm pretty much like that, too. You know, I mean, you won't catch me in bed, even when I'm sick. And I am sick. You know, I've been having, like, this lingering cold, and it's not, like, full-blown.
Uh-huh.
But it's still there. You know, my throat is sore, and
oh, really?
My nose, and, yeah. I mean,
are you going to go to the doctor with it?
No. Why would I go to the doctor with a mild cold? No, I don't go to doctors very often. Although I should start going, you know. I mean, I turned 50 this year or last year, and I need to start getting some checkups and stuff, you know. The body just doesn't work the same as it used to.
Mm.
Yeah.
So, quick question. Egypt.
Egypt.
Did
you
want hear
to go
that
back to Egypt? Yeah.
Anderson Cooper, he got punched?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No, I didn't hear that.
Supposedly he was, like, punched. He went over there.
Really?
Reporting.
How come it's not here on CNN? I'm surprised.
Yeah, he got... yeah.
Yeah, they'll teach him to go to a place like that.
Yeah, I mean, I think he was... let's see what it says. Yeah, he's attacked.
You know, I mean, I get that reporting from the front line and stuff, but fucking do it from a hotel or something. You know, don't be on the streets. I mean, you can tell what's going on there, you know. It's dangerous. And... Yeah, and that's what I was saying all along. You know, this started sort of like nonviolent, but like I said before many times, in the Muslim world, there's no such thing as no violence. Everything has to happen with violence. And sure enough, you know, and the police wasn't anywhere to be found. And I guess there are factions now pro-government that are fighting the protesters. And
I don't get that at all. The dude's been in power 30 years, and then his way of resolving stuff is cutting off internet.
Yeah.
And television.
Yeah.
And you trust that person?
I told you, he's an autocrat. He's a dictator, you know.
And but it's just like,
they call
understand.
Him a president, but that's bullshit, you know. I mean, like you said, he's been up there for 30 years. When you have free elections, nobody stays up in power for that long.
Mm.
They just don't.
Yeah, 30 years is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, Anderson Cooper was there. He was in Egypt, and his vehicle was... He goes, vehicle I was in was attacked. My window was smashed. he reported that on Twitter yesterday on Thursday. And he said he spent most of Wednesday night reporting from an undisclosed location for safety and being repeatedly punched in the head during an attack by members of a pro-government mob.
Yeah.
Today's incidents come amid widespread reports that journalists in Egypt have been targeted not only for harassment and physical violence, but also arrest, as the New York Times' Nicholas Kristof warned, "To my reporting brethren in Egypt, there are reports of police are raiding hotels looking for journalists. Be careful."
Oh, really? They're looking for them?
Shoot.
Wow.
I hope he's okay now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a war zone there right now. I would not go.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, too, I mean, when they're cutting off these people's media outlets, mm-hmm. and then you get reporters in there, they're like, screw this, we're going to just get the... Yeah. You know, they're like the reporting soldiers of the world, like going in and, mm-hmm. you know, siphoning what's really going on.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's just the way it goes, you know. And I mean, it's been heard before that reporters have been killed and kidnapped and so forth in Lebanon.
Mm.
And this has happened for a while. I'm telling you, this is the language they understand. The Arabs, they like violence. It's the only thing that works for them. And that seems to be the case. You know, I mean, I'm not... I don't think I'm exaggerating by saying that.
Well, I mean, I don't know if I can totally get behind that.
Have you seen anything peaceful happening in the Arab world? Give me a break, you know?
No, it's not that. It's just that I don't think it's... I get what you're saying, but there's people that are caught in it. That's not necessarily what they want. There's a lot of people that are... Their voices aren't... They don't have somebody speaking for them. They don't have somebody advocating for them. And they're caught.
Okay, and then they go on the streets and they start throwing stones.
Well, there's
and
different...
Shooting.
Well, no, there's different groups. I mean, there's people that... And there's a revolution going on, pretty much. I mean...
Right.
I mean, that...
And why is it happening in the first place? That's
well,
what I'm saying.
Well, every country has
you have
revolutions.
To remove,
we've had revolutions.
No,
but we're
not
like,
every country. Ours was like in the beginning, you know?
Yeah, but they're third world, dude. This is like, you know...
But
this,
that was with a king, you know? That's why we had a revolution, because the British were not happy with the king.
They're basically a monarchy in their own right, too. It's
yeah, but that's not the way we run our country.
No, you're not
understanding. You know, and you look at the Western world, it
Absolutely.
Doesn't happen.
Absolutely. I'm just saying... At one point, we mm-hmm. did have revolutions to overthrow and have independence from the rule of a king, right?
Okay.
Which is essentially the same concept.
Right, but how long ago was that?
Exactly. But
okay.
we're dealing with countries that are...
That are in the Stone Age still.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
So this
okay.
is their time. I mean, that's...
So that's what I'm saying. In the Stone Age, the language that was prevalent was violence.
Yeah, but I'm just saying it's not everyone's every person over there is
Look, I'm not talking about every person. I'm talking to you about the Arab world, okay? And that, you know, I mean, look, Islam was spread by the sword, and it's right there in the Quran, so it's not something I'm making up. And you know, that's unfortunate, but that's what happens. And I think you know, that's why I'm saying, you know, even with a revolution there, it's not necessarily going to be a good thing, because it's going to open up a vacuum, and the groups that may feel it are not ones that we want to be there, you know? So, I don't know. I mean, look, I agree with you, not every person, but I'm talking in general. That's what we're talking about.
A lot of, what were they saying, that with the stats or something, a lot of these a lot of people there are techie people.
Yeah. So, what
I don't
does
think
that mean?
I don't think a lot of them are trying to go around killing people. They're just all trying to have independence.
Yeah.
And this is their thing.
This is their way, right? This is their language, violence. What can I tell you?
I just think you're painting these brush strokes that I just don't... I'm just not...
You don't have to accept it. You don't have to accept it. That's fine.
I'm just saying, like, if you're breaking free of something...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's going to be...
Have you seen, like, nonviolent revolutions? I mean, there have been.
There's been some.
There have been.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Peace, what was it? Gandhi?
Gandhi and,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Peace resistance, this kind of...
In the Philippines, I don't think they had that much violence, if they did at all. I don't remember. That happened some time ago with Marcos. But, you know, I mean, there's been, like, several revolutions where... you know, I mean, you can even say that Martin Luther King led a revolution in a way, but it was a nonviolent one.
Yeah.
And these things can happen, but in places where people can communicate without violence.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
Well, but, my heart, I think we should be praying for everyone on every side, because I think ultimately that's how people change.
Okay, well, we'll pray for them. Isn't it weird, though, like in the middle of the violence and stuff, they'll stop and start praying? Everybody's on the ground praying, And you'll see like thousands and thousands of them right in the middle of the
street.
To
me, that's like madness.
Yeah.
It's just going from like brutality to then let's pray real quick.
Yeah.
Is like, is any of that prayer registering with any of you guys? Like, you know, do you really hate that person so much just because they don't believe like you or they don't want what you want?
Yeah. Well, they do the prayers because they have to or they're expected to. I'm not sure. Maybe they really want to. I don't know. But it doesn't go in line with their behavior whatsoever.
Hmm.
So...
Man.
You know, so that's what's going on there. And so now you got your update about Egypt. It's time to call our guest. So let's go ahead and call him real quick. We're calling Harry Beckwith. And the book is called Unthinking, which is cool. He's written a few books in marketing and stuff on customers and all that. So
this is Harry. Hello.
Yes, Harry. Good morning to you. Sam and Kira calling
Hello.
You from LA Talk Radio.
Hi. How are you?
Good. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing quite well, thank you.
Wonderful, wonderful. Where are we calling you? What part of the country are you in?
Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Oh, so you're buried in a lot of snow right now.
No, we didn't get it.
Oh, really?
Chicago got it. I have two children in Chicago, and they got buried. We didn't get any yesterday.
It's, wow.
I think it's almost too cold to snow. It's like 10 degrees. When it's actually that cold, it gets... When it's actually that cold, it's very dry, and so we tend not to get snow.
Oh, my God. We wouldn't know, you know? We have a sunny, beautiful day outside.
Oh, well, lucky you.
Yeah. So, Harry, let's talk about your book a little. I'm sorry.
Yeah, what's the temperature there, by the way?
We have about maybe 65 right now outside. Yeah, 65, 70. Yeah, you may want to consider moving to Southern California.
Yes, indeed.
So, Harry Beckwith, you wrote the book called Unthinking, The Surprising Forces Behind What We Buy. I found that fascinating, especially since I've read your past books like Selling the Invisible and
nice.
You, Inc. and so forth. And, I happen to be sort of a marketer myself, so... I could really relate to this, but this is more than for just marketing people. I think this is a book that everybody would find enlightening, and because it does discuss about how we make our choices and why we buy things and so forth. So,
what we love,
right?
It's a pretty interesting subject. You know, love is a wonderful topic, and that really is what it comes down to: is what do we love?
I see. So we buy what we love.
In large part, of course, toothpaste, you can't say you love toothpaste, but you have some reason for doing it. And what it may be is just the memory of it. That's the one that your parents always chose, and you have these memories of family, and so there's something nostalgic about buying Crest toothpaste or Jell-O or some of those other things.
Right.
They have an emotional connection to us in some way.
Right. We associate it with other things, yeah. So.
Yes, indeed. We.
Go ahead. So I wanted to ask, you mentioned some things about that people like play and stories and surprises.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I think we always remain children. And one of the first things that we do, and I have a puppy, and you see it with puppies, you see it with all kinds of animals, you see it with my cat and my bird, they all play. Mm-hmm. We love to play. And there's a tendency sometimes to take us pretty seriously and take ourselves pretty seriously and not really recognize how important that is. There's a quote from a woman named Silver Rose, which I remember the quote as well as I remember her name.
Uh-huh.
She said once to me, she said, "I think adults invented work so they could play together all day."
That's funny. Yeah, that's me.
But if you look at, you know, the example I really go right to is because I bought one was an Apple iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
And you turn it on and immediately you're confronted with these 9 apps.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all the colors, they're toy colors, all of them. They don't have serious adult colors like burgundy and gray and black and what have you. They're the bright green and blues and all those bright primary colors of Fisher-Price toys and Play-Doh.
Uh-huh.
It's a very playful instrument, and Nike has stressed play from the very beginning. It wasn't the computer for computer heads. It was the computer for the rest of us, and those were creative people who saw it as a way to play.
Right, right. So I would imagine that helps businesses a lot and marketing departments when they can figure out what a thought process is and target their products in that way or their messages.
Yeah, well, one way to think of it is a thought process, but it's even more useful if you think about it as a feeling process.
I see.
That is, what do we feel? And when I'm referring to thinking, the title of my book, it's because it's not thinking, it's feeling.
Mm.
Starbucks is a good example of that. People laugh, or some people who don't go to Starbucks, mm-hmm. laugh about people going to Starbucks and spending, you know, $4.50 on coffee that the raw ingredients probably cost 15 cents.
Right.
But we don't go to Starbucks for the coffee so much. We go for the social experience.
Right.
And coffee's an inherently social thing. You know, you have coffee clutches, and our parents, our mothers had friends over for coffee, and maybe the dads did too, and they had coffee breaks.
Right.
All those things are associated with socializing, and so coffee doesn't mean a warm beverage. Coffee means a warm experience between two or more people.
Right.
And so we spend that on Starbucks to sit around and be among people and hopefully maybe make some new friends, and if not, just feel like we're part of this world, which we sometimes it's easy to feel not a part of.
Right. So you're saying if we were actually thinking, we probably wouldn't spend the $4.50, but it's because it's more an emotional thing.
Well, that's an awful lot to spend just for coffee, isn't
it? Yeah.
Yeah, no, and Starbucks recognized that explicitly. Uh-huh. He said, this isn't a coffee shop. This is the third place.
Mm.
You go to home, you go to work, and the third place you go to be among people is, and that's what Starbucks wanted to be. That was their explicit strategy.
Wow.
The third place. And
yeah.
They seem to have accomplished that.
Yeah, that's true. They have. Now, I've heard this, you know, quite often that, you know, people don't really, they're not really rational when they make their decisions. It's more based on emotions and feelings. Is that the way you're viewing this as well?
Yeah, by and large. You know, there's occasionally situations where we'll make a pure economic decision, sometimes because we see good reason to. We just can't separate the products.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes when we're out of work because we have to spend as little as we possibly can.
Right.
And in those cases, we'll make a decision based on cost.
Right.
But in the rest of the time, and you know, and this is interesting, by the way, this applies to your part of the country.
Mm-hmm.
When they introduced generic products, one of the great believers of the marketers of generic products is that the Hispanic families, particularly in Florida and California, Southern California especially, where they tend to congregate, that would be a huge market for generic products because the products were very inexpensive.
Right.
Well, it turns out that Hispanic families bought far fewer generic products than did families regardless of income group. The penetration, as we use that term,
right,
among Hispanic families was very small, and that was partly because, as you know, Hispanic families have a very strong familial orientation, especially to their children.
Right.
And so these, especially the newer families who didn't necessarily grow up here and English was a second language, they bought the products that they saw on TV.
Right.
Because the television was saying, these are the products that good mothers offer to their children. And so these Hispanic families, not necessarily with substantial means, overwhelmingly bought the more expensive products.
Right.
And you could say that that's irrational, but then how irrational is it to want to give the very best to your children?
No, yeah, absolutely.
That's a strong human response is maternal love, and paternal love is as strong an emotion as there is.
Right. So, I mean, would you say that sometimes we buy things simply because they're popular and they're successful? You know, like, I think with the iPhone, for example, is a good example, whereas many people maybe did not feel that they needed one, and then they ended up getting one when it became so widespread and available.
Well, we like to be a part of the crowd. Mm-hmm. Americans are very much like this in a way that people in most other cultures are not. Other cultures tend to look much more within themselves or to their religion or to their social or to their family. Americans tend to look at their neighbors, and I don't mean that in a derogatory way.
Right.
We're just very other-directed people.
Right.
And we like to be a part of things. And purchasing items that other people have and seems to enjoy is one of our ways that we do that.
Right.
And partly, too, there's a And sometimes there's a status element involved. There's no question, but regardless of how much we deny it, we like to feel important and to look fairly important.
Right.
And possessing items like that sometimes can give you that feeling.
Right. Now, you mentioned also that the three major sources that influence our choices are childhood, our culture, and our eyes. What do you mean by our eyes? I mean, obviously, the first two are obvious.
Well, we judge books by covers. Mm-hmm. We think that things that are beautiful have other positive attributes. And so it is, and again, Apple's recognized this so explicitly with its packaging and how beautifully it's designed. But the example that I really love in the book of buying with our eyes is the example of the Ford Falcon and the Ford Mustang. The Ford Falcon, about years and years ago, was very popular at first, and then its sales started to dwindle to the point where there were a bunch of Ford Falcons just sitting around the Ford manufacturing plants and the chassis and the engines and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And Ford decided to take advantage of that and put a new shell on it, call it a Mustang,
uh-huh.
and advertise the devil out of that. They bought all three major networks on a Sunday night, all at the same time, to totally dominate the airwaves and introduce this new Mustang, which was really just a Ford Falcon.
Oh, so it was like the same car, but they packaged it
with a really sporty-looking shape, and it was a sports car.
Right.
Sport, and we loved to play, so it was something you could play with, and it was tended to be red, mm-hmm. and it was called a Mustang, you know, which appeals uh-huh. to our sense of freedom.
Right.
It was just all very clever, but the Mustang was really a Falcon, and it's the power of the eye.
Yeah.
It looked much different, and so we treated it much differently.
Right.
Yeah.
I've had a number of people when I asked them, you've read my books, and the first one was called Selling the Invisible. That's the great covered one you probably remember. And
right.
I asked a number of people what got them to buy it, and the two things they said were the format, the package, because it looked it was smaller than books tended to be back then, 13 or 14 years ago.
Right.
And so it looked easier to read. And then the title. They were intrigued by the title. But the package, this modest-looking, not overstated, and easily sized, user-friendly size,
mm-hmm.
is what the majority of them said. And, you know, I was kind of disappointed. I was hoping it was me.
Right.
It turned out the package had a lot to do with it.
It probably does. I know I'm a very visual person, and I get attracted to book covers that are attractive faster than to other books. And with other things as well, you know, I mean, when I go to get a laptop, not only do I look at the specs, but I want to make sure it looks nice and it's pleasing.
Yeah, we have to spend so much time in front of it. That time should be pleasing.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. Well, Harry,
I think that marketers of all kinds actually tend to underestimate that, and so I write a lot about that because I work with a lot of clients who underestimate the importance of design.
Right. Yeah, and you're right. I think design is more important than ever right now when there's so much competition and you have to stand out in the market.
And products that are very, very much alike, except for their design. The design is the one thing that's different.
Yeah. No, absolutely, and I think, you know, and we mentioned Apple. I think they have it, they figured it out. You know, they turn it into a science, I think, as far as their design, and because otherwise you can't explain why people would stick with a product that's very, you know, closed-ended. In other words, it's not an open system.
It's very expensive.
Very expensive as well, absolutely. And they control the hardware and the software, and it does make it expensive that way. But, you know, obviously they're back at 10% of the market with the Macs now, so, you know, that's not a bad thing.
Yeah, well, I've used one for 27 years now.
Wow.
and I've obviously studied their marketing a lot because they're superb at doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this is fascinating, Harry. We're talking to Harry Beckwith. The book is Unthinking, The Surprising Forces Behind What We Buy. This is available on Amazon and other places. Harry, do you also have a website you'd like people to go to?
Beckwithpartners.com.
Beckwithpartners.com. Sounds good.
Yep.
I'm definitely going to check it out. Harry, thank you so much for giving us of your time this morning.
Well, Sam, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
And, send some good warm weather Minneapolis way, if you would.
We definitely will. And we'll put a link to your website also and to the book on our website as well.
Very good. So, thank you again, Sam.
Okay. Thank you, Harry.
Best of luck.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Okay, Harry Beckwith. So, you know, again, I know you may not be a lot into this, but I am, so there you go. You know. Now you can tell us what happened to you last night.
I wasn't going to say anything about what happened to me last night. I told you off the air.
I thought you were going to talk about it.
No, I
said... Oh, you said you wouldn't.
I said I'm not talking about this on the air.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you meant something else you were not talking about on the air.
There were a lot of things
you wouldn't talk about on the air today.
All the messages I'm going to get now.
All right. Well, that's fine. Then don't tell us what happened to you last night. I mean, I don't know. You just said something happened to you last night. So I was wondering. You didn't really tell me what it was. So, you know.
Anyway.
So.
It's not what you're thinking.
Not what you guys are thinking because
I need to have some dignity.
I don't know what you're thinking, but you guys, whatever you're thinking, you should reprimand yourself for being so naughty.
Yeah, it's not that exciting.
So it's interesting that it's not snowing in Minnesota. I mean, my God, it's so freaking cold. But like you heard, it's too cold to snow. The snow freezes.
Well, you know, I'm sure that's hysterical.
Oh,
for them.
Man, yeah. Yeah, but that's really cold. I mean, could you handle living in that cold?
I lived in Detroit for 4 months, and it was, like, intense.
Yeah. I mean, last night it was cold and windy, like cold wind. Mm-hmm. I couldn't even stand being outside. It was so terrible.
Really?
Yeah, it was that cold. And you know what? It was probably only in the 50s or 40s.
Yeah, it was cold last night, but I wore a long coat.
Yeah, so it's relative, you know.
Does it get cold in Israel?
No, never this cold, no. I mean, Israel is like California, you know, it's the same kind of weather.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's just more humid.
So you've always
have
you always lived in like hot climates?
Warm climates, yeah, yeah. Well, actually hot too. I lived in Vegas.
Yeah, Vegas.
A couple times, yeah. But yeah, I never lived in a cold place.
I thought you lived in Canada.
No, I never lived in Canada. I traveled to Canada.
Oh.
No, I never lived there. But
in South Africa, it was hot.
South Africa was also, tropical, subtropical climate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There it would be interesting because you'd have a sunny day like now. Then suddenly around 12, 1 o'clock, dark clouds would move in. You'd get like torrential rain for about 15 minutes. Then the sky would clear up and everything is clean. The air is clean and everything. So, and it wasn't just rain. It was electrical storms, you know.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was pretty funny, but... I liked it. I liked it a lot because I love rain, you know, so I don't mind some rain. I wish we had a little more, but that's about as far as I go. Snow would be nice to see when you're traveling or visiting, but I don't think I could live with that, you know. I traveled up to the Midwest a couple times, and I saw how people live, you know. I mean, we were getting stranded in the ice on the roads, you know. Your car gets... The wheels start spinning and stuff. You can't really go anywhere, you know, so you have to pull out your car and all that. So, yeah, so that's how some people live, you know. And I know Mario lives in St. Paul, so, or Minneapolis, so, which is the same thing. So,
wow,
and
cool.
He tells me constantly about the weather there. I mean, it's like 9 friggin' degrees or something, you know.
Yeah.
Something even unimaginable.
Now, I remember when I drove my aunt down from Detroit to Houston, and I remember just going from single digits to when it hit like 30 and 40, you're like, you've got the windows down, you feel good. You're like, oh, it was like 50 degrees. I had just a tank top on, felt great. Because your body kind of acclimates a bit. And
yeah.
It's just so freezing that everything else feels warm.
Yeah, that's true. Did you talk to anybody in Houston? Because it's been freezing there the past couple days, too.
Yeah, my dad said it was really, really cold.
Yeah. In Dallas, it snowed. I don't think it did in Houston.
No, I don't
but
think
it
so in
did
Houston.
In Dallas, which was very unusual.
Yeah, I don't miss it there.
No, huh?
Mm-mm.
You like Southern Cal?
I think once you go here, it's hard to leave.
Yeah.
I mean, in some ways it's not. Sometimes you're like, give me the hell out of this place.
No, I'm seeing some people leaving, man. Let me tell you, some people really hate L.A. or California.
Yeah, TJ hated it.
Yeah, that's true. But some people, yeah, they move here. They don't like it. They move out. It's not easy to live in L.A., you know? I mean, it's a very unique place. Social life is not that developed here. And, you know, it's spread out. People are, like, into themselves. You know, it's very busy, very crowded. So, you know, I mean, there's a lot of things not to like about it. But at the same time, it's a pretty cool place. You know, it depends what you're looking for, I guess. In life, you know.
Well, there's some great things it offers, too.
Yes.
Which we always talk about, so I won't bore
beautiful
you.
People.
Everyone's beautiful.
We have beautiful people.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bet you everybody thinks everybody in L.A. is beautiful, you know, if they only seen some of the people here.
Yeah, it's crazy. No, the coffee shop I was at this morning, there's this, I ran into a musician that I know, or I've met a few times around town, and he's with another guy who, it's like this thing, this talking, a lot of talkers in this town. They're like, hey, let me get your card. Let me do this. The phone will never ring, though. They will never ring that number.
Why is that?
But they'll always be like, hey,
well, maybe
I need your card.
They're not interested. I mean, obviously, right?
Oh, well, it's like the follow-through. And I'm not even talking about romantic stuff. I mean, hey, I've got a job I think you'd be good for. Here's a gig type situation. Or maybe we should collaborate and work on this. I'm looking for this. You know, that kind of thing. And every time they see you, it's the same kind of, hey, how have you been? I need to do this. I need to do that. And then they never do.
Yeah.
And it's almost like you don't have to. We don't have to. It's okay.
Right, right.
You know, you don't have to suggest me for this or use me for this if you really don't want to. But it's kind of the same replayed tape.
Right.
There's a lot of people like that, real talkers.
I know.
I think I'm kind of one
of
them.
But, you know, I mean, many women complain that a guy won't call and things like that or won't call back.
Oh,
and
I'm not referring to that stuff. I'm talking about
the whole,
you know, businessy kind of industry talk.
Right.
You know, everybody's talking.
Well, they do it, you know, but they're just not that into you when they don't call.
You don't understand.
It's very simple. People call when they're interested.
Listen.
No, I mean, I'm talking even about the things you're saying.
Yeah, well, here's what I'm saying. First of all, I don't give a shit, number one. Number two.
Okay, good.
But number two, what I'm talking about is this very lukewarm, high emotional content, but very lukewarm follow through. Not only are they not interested, they're not really interested in anyone because they don't have the follow through. They don't have the, it's all about them. And then as soon as you're in their vision, they think of you. But as soon as you're not, they don't, because they're onto themselves. Mm. And it's people that are just like trying to always, they're busy being busy. Does that make sense? They look busy. They look like they've got shit going on, but they really don't.
Well, you don't know that.
Well, I do. You know? There's tons of people in the city that's like a huge current in the city. Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, let's do lunch. It's like, what have you really done? What projects do you really have going on right now? Nothing. Okay?
So why can't you do lunch with them?
Dude, they're not calling. They don't want it. I'm not even talking about lunch. I'm saying it's a. Oh my gosh. This
okay.
Be
never
that hard.
Mind. Yeah, because you're making generalizations and you're painting.
I'm making an accurate generalization.
It's not. It's in your opinion accurate.
No, it's not. This is L.A. You just said in L.A. it's so narcissistic and people are into themselves. I'm saying this is an element of it. People that are fake to your face. It's fakeness. You know that's true.
I didn't say a lot of people are like that. I just meant that this is like one of the stereotypes of L.A.
No, you said
not to say that it doesn't exist.
No, you totally were just
No, happy. I was giving you reasons why people don't want to live here. I didn't say it was my reasons.
Well, it's not your reason because you live here and you like it here. But I'm saying it exists. I'm not fucking pulling this out of my ass in the middle of...
Yeah. All I can tell you is this. Look, there used to be time when I couldn't stand L.A., and I'm here to tell you that when you don't like a place, it's because there's something else that bugs you and you're trying to blame it on the place. So I'm here to tell you, you can enjoy any place you live if you are happy within yourself.
I do enjoy this place.
Yeah, because you're happy within yourself. I don't know why, but you are.
Don't make me laugh. Don't make me laugh. You make me cough.
Oh, God.
What cracked me up? What did Mario say that cracked me up? He's like, the only demon we need to worry about is Kara. That was so funny. Oh, man. Anyway, I like this place. I'm happy with myself. However, you know, there's some places you go, they're just not that fun.
Yeah.
You know?
What, you mean outside of L.A. or?
Yeah, different states.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't have to be fun. I mean, some people look for places to raise their kids, you know, to have a family and so forth. They're not looking for like fun, like single people do.
If I sent your Sam package, mm-hmm. if I packaged up Sam and sent you to the South Pole,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Right.
You know, I don't think it's all about you don't not liking yourself or where you're at. It's
okay,
more
but
about,
that's an extreme, Kira.
But it's using an extreme example to illustrate a point. Sometimes
no,
places suck.
No, you don't have to.
Sometimes places suck.
Okay,
it's an
well,
uninhabitable area.
But L.A. is not, you know, generally considered as a place that sucks. A lot
it
of people move
it's very
here.
Divided. It's very divided.
Well, I don't know. A lot of people move here. We have what, like 12 million people in this town?
Yeah, but it doesn't
that's
mean
a lot
like
of people.
A lot of people move here for the industry, not because they
okay,
love LA.
Okay, but all right. So, you know.
People don't just move here, Sam, because of weather. People move here 90%.
I didn't say they move for the weather. I said there's a million things people would move
yeah,
here
but
for.
It's usually, you know? it's 90% of it is all job related.
You don't know it's 90%. You're just making up fucking numbers, you know?
Ask why is everybody, this is basically almost a one industry town.
That's because you're meeting people in the industry where you hang out.
No.
That's not the case. I mean, look, there are millions of people here that did not move here for that. They don't
there
live here
are,
for that.
There are, but I'm
you're
saying what's the predominant? What's the predominant?
It's not even predominant. I don't think so.
Are you
out
kidding me? This is the entertainment.
People,
this is the entertainment capital
I
of the world.
I understand that.
It's
I
the entertainment
that.
Capital of the world. Whether
right.
it's music, whether it's you know animation, whether it's production, whether it's acting, whether it's, you know.
Okay, that's fine. But what I'm saying, it's not 12 million people that are like that.
It's I would
okay?
say it's the
I
predominant.
Know a lot of people that did not move here
but it's
for
not, but the I'm talking about the dominant. Would you really say it's all equally
you
divided?
Said 90%. You didn't even say
I'm
dominant.
I'm illustrating.
You're not
dominant.
Illustrating. You're throwing
dominant.
Numbers in the air
it's
and nobody
dominant.
Believes you.
You always just disagree to disagree when you know I'm freaking right.
I don't know you're right.
You know I'm right.
No, you can't make statements like 90%.
It's an it's basically, you know, it wouldn't be far off.
It would be.
You're pissing me
it
off.
Would
Let
be.
Me just go look this up.
What? Do you think they actually know that? All you have to do is talk to people.
Dude, I talk to them all the time.
I know, but you're around entertainers all the time.
No, I mean, when I lived in West Hollywood and I lived in Van Nuys, when I've lived in, you know, parts of the Valley, when I lived in Hollywood, and then if you go to Brentwood, it's the same damn thing.
Okay, I don't know who you hang out with, but I can tell you this. I've lived
all
here
I know
for 30,
I've,
40 years.
Yeah, but there's a... if you can't even agree
yeah.
that this town, it's like if you can't agree that the dominant industry...
Mm-hmm. No, I didn't say dominant. I did not say the industry. I said why people move here.
It's for the industry. I'm saying that's a dominant reason.
Okay. All right. Fine. 90% everybody. Write that down. 90% of people in L.A. moved here for entertainment. So I'm part of a 10%, I guess.
You are.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm looking it up anyway, so just to prove my damn point.
I don't think you'll be able to prove anything, you know?
How would you ask the question on Google?
You see, the thing is, the funny thing is that...
I'm asking.
Often when we talk about things, you're saying, oh, I know people or my friend told me or this or that.
No, dude.
You have
I'm
to understand, I'm saying this out of experience. Okay?
Yeah,
I lived
but
in
you
this
seem
town
to
for 35
like,
years.
You seem to not, like, you seem to go to your home. You're not out a lot. You're not doing stuff. You just, you've got a very.
Yeah, but I know people. And besides, that's now.
And
I've lived
I'm
here
not,
for 35 years.
I know,
years.
But I'm not, but you're like a little out of touch sometimes.
I used to go out on the town all the time.
Like when?
When I was younger, in my 20s, 30s.
Yeah, but I'm talking, come on, Sam.
What?
Nowadays, I'm talking nowadays.
What nowadays? No, we're talking like, about this town in general.
But the town, it's like this is common knowledge and you're arguing like I'm making it up.
Yeah, I'm arguing with the statements you're making. Not with the fact that it's the entertainment capital
I'm
of the world.
I'm saying I'm making basic statements that are common knowledge. This is a narcissistic
okay,
town.
Okay, do we even remember why this started?
It's just you like to disagree on
no,
stuff
it's because
that's
I
common
said that
knowledge.
It's because I said that, you know, I think you can like any place you live in if you're happy with yourself.
Yeah, and I said go to the South Pole. Tell
okay.
me how happy you are with
right.
yourself.
And then we were talking about this place.
And I'm saying it's divided. I said a lot of people live here because of their jobs.
Yeah, you didn't say a lot. You said the majority.
People move here for
majority.
The industry.
Did you say 90%?
Yeah,
you?
I think
okay.
I think 90%.
Where did you get that fucking number
I just,
from?
Listen, I believe, let me just say, I believe that 90% of the people that move here,
uh-huh.
move here for a career.
Okay.
It's for the job.
Okay.
Now, whether that
for
means they
career?
End up loving
okay.
it here or hating it here. There's a lot of people that really don't like LA, but they're here because of their job.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're for, you know, whatever that is.
Well,
which,
that happens everywhere.
Yeah, but I think it's that's what I'm saying. Whether people love or hate LA, it's very divided.
Okay.
I mean, TJ hated it, like, and he's not the only
okay,
one.
Okay, it is divided. I mean, what do you? Okay, you know what? I can't carry a conversation with you.
I can't carry a conversation with you. Oh, my gosh. You drive me nuts, man.
What can I tell you, you know? Yeah. So, any new movies starting out this week that you know about?
I really don't know. I haven't been paying attention.
You know that No Strings Attached did pretty well.
It did? It looks,
yeah.
It doesn't look good, but I've heard it.
No, you're not into romantic comedies?
No,
and
I
stuff?
Love romantic comedies,
do
but
you?
It just looked kind of, like, dorky.
They're saying it's pretty good. Who knows?
It got good reviews,
but it
right?
is unusual, you know, because it's a girl that wants a No Strings Attached relationship. Now,
yeah.
I'm not saying there's not women like that. But usually it's not the women that are like that. It's the guys. I think women are more like into relationships. But then again, you know, I'm the first one to say not everyone is like that. There are, especially today with a modern woman, I'm sure there are women that are looking for no strings attached. What do you think?
I guess they are.
Yeah.
I guess there are.
But in the movie, those movies are always male fantasies. That's what they are. If you think about it.
She's like, can you just get lost? We're done.
Yeah.
Don't call
it's
me.
It's a male fantasy, man. To
yeah.
not have to be attached. Just have sex. You know, friends with benefits type of a thing.
Yeah, I think it's sad, but whatever.
Yeah. Have you ever had like a friend with benefits? Like
no.
someone who's a friend, but then also you decide
no.
to. No, I haven't either.
Oh, really? I would have
yeah.
thought you would.
No. I just had, you know, once in my life, I think I was in my 20s, where... I was a friend with a woman and stuff, and but there wasn't anything going on. And then she insisted on it at a certain point that we go to bed, and I didn't want to, you know, because I didn't want to ruin the friendship. And I know it usually can happen. And sure enough, you know, we finally did it, and we were never friends again.
Really?
Yeah. I just kind of cut it off because it wasn't, I don't know, it just didn't feel the same, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, a friend is a friend. It's like family sometimes, you know?
Yeah. Was so, it like awkward sex?
Yeah, kind of. For me, it was, yeah. I mean, I was attracted to her, but, you know, at the same time.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, when you finally find a good friend, you don't want to fuck it up, you know?
Well, ideally, wouldn't you want? Don't you want to think that your lover can be your best friend? And wouldn't? Don't you really want those two together?
Yeah, yeah. But I'm saying if you are if you find someone who's a friend first, and you know, I'm not talking about relationship. You know, I mean, I'm sure you can have a friend and then suddenly you guys realize, hey, you know, we can be in a relationship. We're really compatible or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But just for sex, I don't know. But it does work for people, Kara. Works all the time. People do that.
Well, I think it does work for some people, but I think I'm going to say I think predominantly. I think that predominantly
okay.
speaking,
uh-huh.
it works for one of the people in the party.
Not for both.
Generally, no.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
Okay, there we go. Hey, you guys, we agreed on something. We agreed on something.
But sometimes it does work. I mean, people do that.
I mean,
you know?
Yeah, but I'm saying generally.
Generally.
Predominantly, it's one person that it works for.
Yeah.
In general. We think it's generally guys, but sometimes there are girls. I know a girl that was like that for a long time, and then she's no longer doing that. But
yeah.
She was like, hey, Kara. She'd always have like these crazy lines to tell me. She's always like the young guys, and like 20. I mean, she's in her 20s, later 20s, but
mm-hmm.
she's like these 18 and 20 year olds and 22 year olds, and I'm like, why are you still like going out with these guys? She goes, Kara, I just love the young boys. She's like, they're eager to please, if you know what I mean. She'd say stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know what they say, Kara, to get over another guy, you gotta get under another one. She says stuff like that. Like,
yeah.
I call her Mae West. I'm like, stop with your Mae West lines.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying, Kara?
Oh, man.
She's no longer doing that, but which is funny.
Yeah. That is funny.
But no, generally, and she's had many situations where either she was getting attached, the guy got attached.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It just didn't work.
I know.
So.
Well, all these things are happening now that I'm married and old, so I can't take advantage of any of this. When I was younger, there weren't things like that, you know, like friends with benefits and stuff, you know.
There wasn't.
I'm sure it existed, but it didn't even have a name or anything for it. So, but I guess I'm forgetting some of the things. I mean, I've lived a full life, you know. I mean, there's a lot of women I don't even remember from my life.
What did you have
and stuff, huh?
That you slept with?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't even remember?
No, I mean, I remember relationships, but But not really sexual encounters, no. Some of them I don't remember. Don't remember names, don't remember faces. Sometimes I just remember that there was someone there, but I don't remember who it was. But it's funny, you know. I mean, I've done some dumb things in my life, too. But, like, you know, when you go to bed with someone that in the morning you question yourself.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's bad. You know, that's really bad. Okay, well, anyway, we better get out of here. We have... we have another show coming up next. So, everybody, thank you so much for joining us. Kara, thank you. And we'll see you all tomorrow.
You have been listening to Sam and Kara in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time and originates from the Los Angeles Talk Radio Studios. For questions regarding the show or to learn more about sponsorship opportunities, please direct all correspondents to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Kara in the Morning is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.